Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Things fulfilled among us. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who, from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 1, reading verses 26 to 38. Mary is told about Jesus. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
The angels announced the news to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means "God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, the announcement to the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
This reading is taken from John chapter 1, 1 to 4 and 10 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I want you to imagine for a moment that you've just moved into a new flat. And as far as you can tell, the flat upstairs is empty. But every now and then you hear footsteps overhead. And you regularly nip upstairs and ring the bell with the intention of introducing yourself to your neighbour. But no one ever answers the door. Then one day, at the main door of the flats, you notice a name has appeared by the bell for the flat above you. It says Alex O'Brien. Well, that confirms your suspicions. There is someone living upstairs. And in your mind, you begin to try and picture what your neighbour is like. So perhaps you imagine Alex O'Brien as perhaps an Irish man with a beard, probably in his 50s, rounding in the middle, perhaps likes wearing a suit or something. And then one afternoon, there's a knock on the door. Hello, I'm from the flat above. I've just moved in and I thought I'd come and introduce myself. Well, it turns out that Alex O'Brien is an English lady in her 20s who's a physio at the DGH. Her name is Alexandra, but all her friends just call her Alex. You see, the Alex O'Brien of your imagination was always going to be way off mark. The only way to arrive at the truth about who Alex O'Brien really is was for Alex to come knocking on your door. And so it is with God. All our thoughts about what he's like, well, it's just simply guesswork. Our only hope of knowing what God is really like is if he comes knocking on our door. And that, says John in his gospel, is exactly what happened that first Christmas. John sums it up in four words, which we just had read to us a few moments ago. It says, the Word became flesh. John is speaking about Jesus. He's the one that he calls the Word here. Why does he call him the Word? Well, it's because in the Bible, the Word is how God communicates and makes himself known. God speaks. But in case we think that Jesus is just another prophetic figure claiming to have caught a glimpse of God, well, John stops us in our tracks. Look what he says about the Word in verses 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. These verses mean that Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. In the beginning, when the world was made, the Son of God was there. He was there with God, and yet we're told he was God. Now, what's clear from the outset is that God might not be as we imagine him. As John unfolds his gospel, we discover that God is a unity of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God the Son, also known as the Word of God here in John's gospel, he took on a human nature and became a baby in Bethlehem, so that for the first time in history, God had a face. And he came knocking on our door. Now, this is quite astonishing because this is different to how people imagine God to be. People often think that God is distant and perhaps uninterested in our world. But the Word became flesh. Well, that puts paid to that idea. For the God who's there is a God who cares for the world so much that he became one of us and came looking for us. The Bible makes it clear that after God created the world, he didn't walk out on us. No, we walked out on him. We abandoned our relationship with him. And yet, despite our bad attitude to him, he's not given up on us. In fact, he's so committed to us, he came looking for us. Completely his initiative, not ours. There's no lost sheep looking for the shepherd story in the Bible. There's only the story of the good shepherd who goes looking for the lost sheep. You see, when we read that the Word became flesh, it tells us that God cares. And when we read the Word became flesh, it tells us that God knows. You see, he became one of us. Flesh is a really gritty word, isn't it? It speaks of our frailty. It speaks of our aches and pains. It speaks about our hunger. It speaks about our weakness. It means God knows exactly what it's like to live human life. He knows how you feel. He knows your struggles. He knows your feelings, your emotions. He knows your joys and your griefs. In 1863, there was a missionary called Father Damien. And inspired by Jesus, Damien went to serve on an Hawaiian leper colony. People there were banished without help. And yet he went to live amongst them. And he helped them build shelters. He buried their dead. He set up clean water. He built a school, a hospital, and two churches. And in 1885, he astounded the lepers when he started his Sunday sermon with the words, "We lepers," you see, he had caught leprosy too. Father Damien was willing to go to that leper colony and show loving care, even though it meant him becoming a leper like them. And that's what God has done when the Word became flesh, the man Jesus Christ. I mean, why would God do that? Why would he become a human? I mean, if it was just to identify with us, well, that would be wonderful enough. But it's so much more. You see, in Jesus, God came to save us. He came on a rescue mission that took him to the cross, where he died to save us from the consequences of walking out on him. And he came to open the door back into relationship with him, our Maker. We might summarize John's words in verse 12 by saying, God joined our family so that we could join his. Sometimes today we use the word glory when speaking of a person. You perhaps think of the glory days of Pelé with his three World Cup championships. Think of the glory days of Bjorn Borg in the late 70s when he won five straight Wimbledons. Think of the glory days of a MotoGP Valentino Rossi with his seven GP wins. Well, John says that he witnessed the glory of the Word become flesh. And his gospel testifies to how glorious he was. He could turn water into wine. He could heal people with a word. He fed 5,000 with a single boy's packed lunch. He raised Lazarus from the dead just by calling him out from the tomb. His life was glorious like no other life there's ever been or ever will be. Yet the gospel heads towards Jesus' crowning moment of glory, what John's gospel calls his hour. A moment that would define the true heart of God, showing us what God is like in all his splendor and brilliance. And that moment came when? It came when Jesus was on the cross. Jesus' crowning glory was his death, because it was there that we see the extent to which God would go to bring a wayward humanity back to himself. What should our response be to the coming of God in human flesh? What should our response be to the God who comes knocking on our door, as it were? Well, our reading from John, our last reading, explained that God wants us to receive him. He wants us to receive the Word who became flesh. He wants us to receive his Son. That is, to put our trust in his Son Jesus and what he came to do. And when we do that, we instantly join God's family. And we return to the most glorious relationship, the relationship that we were always made for. A relationship not just for Christmas, but a relationship for every day of our life. A relationship for eternity. A relationship that lasts beyond the grave. It's a relationship that will fill you now with complete security. A relationship that will fill your life with joy and love and hope for every situation you face in life. Because it's a relationship with the living God. This Christmas, indeed every Christmas, tells us that God has come knocking on our door. I wonder, will you open the door of your heart to him this year and welcome him in? Will you receive Jesus Christ this year? If anyone would like to do that this evening, what you do when you become a Christian, you receive Jesus into your life as your Lord and Saviour. If you'd like to do that today and become a child of God and start a new relationship with God today that will begin today and continue forever, if you'd like to do that this evening, I've got a prayer that I can give you, that you can pray so that you can welcome Christ today. Perhaps this evening, though, has just woken you up to a relationship with God for the first time. Perhaps you've never really thought about things before. Perhaps never really considered what Christmas is really about. And maybe you've got loads of questions. Well, why not consider finding out more? Why not consider doing one of the courses we do at Christchurch here? We do one called Christianity Explored. We do another called Hope Explored. And they're great ways of looking at the person of Jesus Christ in a bit more detail, looking at the historical accounts of his life. And it enables you to ask all the questions you like to find out more about him. We are happy to run those courses at a time when it's convenient for you and with no strings attached. You're welcome to start the course, and if it's not for you, you can say no thanks and stop, and that's no problem. We want to be as helpful as we can so that people, whoever you are, whatever your schedule, you can find out about Christ if you want to. Please speak to me afterwards if a course like that would be of interest to you.